Hey, Rockstar! Welcome! This is a storytelling platform designed to empower you to build yourself up physically, spiritually, mentally, socially, and financially. Why stories? Because stories live on. They are eternal. They are a powerful reminder of what one can accomplish when opportunity presents itself. So listen carefully, learn the lessons, apply them to the big five, and become the rock star of your industry. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Hey Rockstar. It is your favorite show that happens on, well, normally it's on Thursdays, but today we're doing it on a Wednesday. But that's okay, because we got the one, the only, someone who he's one of my oldest friends here in Nashville, and I can't wait to just get him on here and chat up a storm. I don't know where this conversation's going, but I guarantee you it's going to be gold. So without taking up much time, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, your best friend and mine, Evan Hedrick. Oh, sorry. Evan Hedrick. I didn't want to say your middle name, but unless you want to, that's part of your, yeah. Da-da-da. Well, Evan, although this show is based out here, it's recorded live. Well, it's recorded live in front of a virtual audience. You are not in Nashville today, are you, my friend?
No, I'm in West Virginia. I surprised my parents on Monday, so here I am.
I forgot to put on my shades, so we'll go with it for
I
now.
Need some shades.
Yeah, I should have put that in the memo and have some shades so at the end of the show we can put them on. But no. So you're in West Virginia? Cool.
And now you live in Nashville. I'm actually in my childhood bedroom currently. What a dream.
What a dream. Living the
dream. What a dream. Yes.
Every time I go visit my folks, they still have my bedroom. I can't say as I left it. It's a lot cleaner than as I left it.
Okay. Mine is pretty similar, but I mean, it's not used that much just when family comes, so it stays pretty clean and chill.
All right, Evan. So I know you, and a good majority of the people who are tuning in probably know you. But for those lucky few who have no clue who you are, tell us a little bit about your story, and we'll just take it from there.
Well, it all started on a cool September day in 1984. I've born and raised in West Virginia. Grew up in a Christian family, and have had a lot of dreams and a lot of aspirations and things that I knew would take me outside of this community that I grew up in. I grew up in a super small town called Davis. There's probably about 700 people that live here in the town itself. There's like 1500 in the county. It's pretty small. But yeah, just grew up in the small town, worked in the food industry and at the resorts growing up, and actually visited Nashville because I'm a singer as well. So I visited Nashville. I don't even know how I got it, but I got acquainted with something called Bandwidth Emission, which may still or may not be a thing. I don't know, but
I haven't heard of it.
Well, it was like, I don't even know. There was like, I got an email saying, hey, you can come audition and we'll critique you live. And so I was like, okay, that would be kind of dope. You know, I don't have anybody here in West Virginia that could do that for me that is like in the music industry and stuff like that. So I went to Nashville. I went to college at Marshall University and drove down to Nashville, which is about 5 hours from Marshall. And auditioned and sang in a couple songs for some judges. And by the end of it, they gave me kind of a breakdown of my stage presence, my songs, my vocal, everything. But that was really my first introduction to Nashville. And I just, even as probably 13 years ago or so at this point, but it's, I just love Nashville. And I just was like, man, Nashville's super cool. And, saw that there was a conference at Belmont called Immerse. And so I signed up and went to Immerse. So I went to Immerse the first year, loved it, you know, was floored. And it was like, wasn't my first opportunity to like spread my wings or like see a life outside of West Virginia, but I was like, I think I love Nashville, you know. But I signed up for Immerse the next year, and I had been talking to my parents because I graduated from Marshall with computer degrees, and I was going to study music. But as I got like a more of a clear definition of what that really looked like, it was not really what I was pursuing. Cause I, you know, I'm a pop Christian singer. I do worship, and they were like, to get into the program, you have to sing this song in three languages and you have to do this and have, you know, and I'm like, Mom, that's not, you know, that's not really what, even though the music knowledge would have been great, that's not really what I want to do. So, I went to Marshall University and studied computer programming and web design. And when I, it's funny because I graduated and I worked at a bank. I worked the drive-through teller window. And yesterday I was watching the president's speech, and he was talking about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And I looked at my dad and I said, would you believe I worked at a bank and made $6.25 an hour? And he was like, oh my gosh. And I said, I worked a whole month and made $800. And so life is drastically different. But so I went to Immerse the first year, signed up for the second year. And in the process, after I graduated college, I ended up moving back home because my mother was.
Uh-oh. Hopefully we haven't lost you because, and hopefully we haven't lost you because this is a good story. And I'm not going to tell the story, but in the meantime, I can relate totally to the, because I remember back in college, every 2 weeks I was getting checks for maybe $300, $400 for full time wage or full time hours. And like, man, I can't even remember how little I was getting paid when I first started. And yeah, to think that now the minimum wage is 15 or they're pushing to move to $15 an hour. I mean, that's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people, at least. Don't worry, Evan will be back. What were we talking about? Someone was mentioning gas prices, how they are crazy. Oh yeah, my nephew got himself a pickup truck, and he was telling me how much it cost him to drive over here because he visited me. He came to visit his favorite uncle last week, and he was talking about how much he paid, and like, well, son, that's why I don't have a pickup truck anymore. I have a smaller car that fills up. But I distinctly remember one time being able to fill up my truck with like just under $20, and it was a 20-gallon truck. So gas was like 95 cents or 96 cents like that, or maybe it was a little bit more, but I never really waited till it was empty to fill it up. But yeah, just it's ridiculous how much of a leap from those days to, I remember when I first moved to Nashville, I was doing a lot of courier work and I was using my personal vehicle to drive and do deliveries. And daily I was putting $20 of gas into my truck to fill it up halfway because it took about $40 to fill it up at that time. Today it probably cost me $80 to fill up my truck. And that was just in like 5 years time, how prices have changed so much. All right. I should have some background. You know what? StreamYard now has background music that we can play. Let's try out acoustic cinematic. Enjoy this background music. So the one thing that I wanted to share with or I was hoping that Evan gets to share is just the transitioning. The whole, you have one dream, you have one goal, you come expectant of one thing. And there's something to be said about those hard-headed, stubborn people. No, I mean, people who are determined, who have the dream that they're going to, it's do or die, the buck stops here mindset. That is a very strong place to come from. However, sometimes plans change mid-trajectory. Or the passion becomes different. Your passion of interest, your view is different than when you first started. The truth can be said about me. When I first got here, I'm honestly I didn't have a plan. When I was on my way to Atlanta to do some film work, but then I got here and tried the music, and I discovered right away that I didn't have the drive that most people have. For example, this man right here had the drive. So, Ed, welcome back. Can you hear me? Sweet. So you were talking about how you'd made a comment to your dad about how much you were getting paid when you're at the bank.
Yes.
And then you had mentioned something about your mom.
Yeah. So after I graduated college, I moved home because my mother was sick, and she was the primary caregiver of my grandfather, who actually lived with us at the time. And so I came home thinking, oh, I'm just going to help and be a support and be, you know, another body, and ended up living at home for 4 years after I graduated. And I will side, I'll finish the sidetrack about my mom being sick in just a minute. But so while I was home, I went to Immerse, and after I came back the second time, I told my parents, I was like, Nashville's really great. I think I want to live there. And so I signed up for the second year of Immerse. And while I was at Immerse, in between sessions, I apartment shopped and found an apartment, signed a lease, and I went home essentially to pack up and move back to Nashville. So was 11 years ago. So I had a dream, and I knew that I wanted to sing and that I wanted to be in a place where that could be a possibility, and that I could have connections and meet people and be around people. And so I just picked up and I moved to Nashville. I didn't know anybody. It was November 1st, and which was, hindsight is probably a bad time to move, because Thanksgiving's a couple weeks away, and then there's Christmas, and obviously you don't want to start a new job and like have to take off, and like then you can't see your family and all that stuff. So I literally sat in my apartment for 2 months and I didn't know a soul. And I just was like, literally would get up and get dressed every day, put on my like Sunday best and try to look like what I thought Nashville looked like, and would go walk around, you know, Opryland Hotel, or would drive around Franklin, or drive around Rivergate, or wherever, just to try to see Nashville. And I would like go to Chick-fil-A and try to strike up conversations with people in the drive-thru, because I was so thirsty for friendship and for a face, because I was sitting alone. I'm like, I'm in the city, I don't know anybody. Like, and one of my biggest things was like, I know the fastest way I'm going to get plugged in is finding a church.
Yeah.
And so I got on and I was like, Nashville churches, you know, and looked at their websites and looked up all that jazz. And I, you know, basically church hopped for several weeks until I found something that I loved. So here we are.
And we don't have to go there today.
You know,
unless you just want to. No, definitely. Who else? Lorenzo. He's also another person who had that story where like he just took off and showed up with no one. He was on my show first season. And you know Lorenzo. And also that always surprised me, because I at least had family. And you know my cousin Manny. When I first got here, we had dinner with him, and I'm like, well, I have at least somewhat. And through him, I was able to meet people from his church, and we met our mutual friend Jimmy, who yes. was on the show too. And then of course it was later on, whenever Jimmy and I started going to Belonging, that we ran into you, and that just struck up a friendship. I don't quite remember how it was. Oh yeah. you needed help moving the table, and I had a pickup truck.
Yes, it was my desk, and I said, I think I posted in the TBCO group, and I was like, does anybody have a truck? And you were
and
so
I was free that day. Yeah,
you're like, I've got a truck. And I was like, I've got a desk that needs to be moved. So
it was perfect, because my roommate at the time was about to move to Australia, and I was gonna move out of the house, and like, I don't know where else to go. Yeah. And then I helped you move this table. You had plenty of space at the house that you were in, because you were just the house was one of those. House is those rent they were renting out multiple rooms, and he's like, it looked pretty fully furnished when I walked in, mostly all your decor. This man has a great eye for decoration.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who else lives here? And he goes, no one. They're looking for other people. I'm like, where'd I sign? And he introduced me to, I forgot his name, the guy who was managing the property. And we met up at church. Yeah, Stephen. And we met up at church. And then the rest is history. But and a good long friendship between you and I. So let's. What I was trying to hit on earlier is the change of scenes, because like music is still something that you are heavily involved in, something that you still enjoy, but it's not your only focus these days. When did that decision occur in your mind that maybe there's other possibilities? Again, I'm not trying to say you've given up on the music dream, but you found other passions that you are willing to pursue.
I think it took me a minute, because being from West Virginia and not around anything that I thought, I think in my mind, I had a skewed view of what exactly I thought that was going to happen in Nashville. Like, I don't know if it was like some emotion, and I was just like, I'm going to go to Nashville and I'm going to run into XYZ because my God is a good God and he's a good father, and it's just going to happen. And I'm going to open up for Winter Jam. That's going to be my start. And then I'm going to, you know, do XYZ and do all these things. And that's literally not what happened. I don't even think I released my first song until like 5 years into living in Nashville, because it took me a minute to find a job. And then in Nashville 11 years ago was much different than the Nashville now. Like, it was affordable, but your boy was broke. And I've always like waited tables and worked in the food service industry and still do, along with real estate. But I was determined. I was like, I'm not going to be a server in Nashville. This is a new beginning to me. I'm going to go and I'm going to get a big boy job and I'm going to pursue music and it's going to be great. Well, I got one, and it was to sell home security systems door to door. And, I was
Which
so
pumped. Company,
I want to say like ADT or
okay. The big one. All right. Gotcha.
So, and they just like, and I was only commissioned. But the way they pitched it was like, one, you sell one a week and it pays your bills. You sell two in a week and you get to save for the future. And three a week, you get to live out your wildest dreams. And I was like, this is it. How hard would three security systems be in a week? I'm going to be making so much freaking money. It's going to be amazing. So we trained really hard for 3 days for free because it's all commission based. And we went out on that first Saturday in a company van with like eight of us. And we drove, I think, a little over an hour outside of Nashville and show up at this development. And they open the doors and they're like, go get them. So for 10 hours that day, we walked from door to door to door trying to, and our pitch was, can I put this sign in your front yard? And if they said yes, and I'm like, well, actually, if you're going to put it in your yard, I can get you a free security system and all this thing. And the one person that was interested didn't own the home and we couldn't do rentals.
Yeah.
I was just so defeated that I texted the guy the next day and I was like, this ain't for me. I'm sorry. Can't do this anymore. So I went and got a serving job and couldn't make ends meet there. So I had met some people at church and I ended up working two jobs for a long time. I worked at a uniform supply company. And then I worked at a restaurant as well. So I ended up
okay, I'm losing
with me
you
every
again.
Step of the way, you know, but no, don't do it.
Oh, you're just doing the little transformer voice. Hold on.
Bye.
Oh no, he just disappeared on us. All right, let me go full screen here. Let me see if I can add on to what Evan has already kind of shared until he can come back on strong as always. But yes, sometimes, and even Scott and I talked about this, sometimes We come with that expectation that we're gonna try to we're gonna wing it, because in our small town we're from, we're the rock stars. People look up to us and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're the best." And we come with that ego. We're ego invested in, like, well, we're gonna make it, of course. And I showed up, because before I even showed up, I had an arrangement with someone in the music industry that wanted a meeting. And the next day I was here, I emailed him, had my meeting, and in 10 minutes he ripped my dream into shreds. So I can relate to that coming with that mindset that, oh yeah, I got it made. Yeah, I'm gonna hit it big. I mean, of course they're gonna want me. It's me. Who else? He's back, but still kind of frozen in time. But with that also, was. As you're talking about the multiple jobs, there was a season. Well, I can't really say that I did multiple jobs at once, but I did have like a lot of freelancing work and odd jobs. I mean, I remember one week helping people mow lawn. I had a friend who posted like, "I need help mowing lawn," and like I asked my roommate, "Can I just borrow your lawnmower?" And I went and I mowed their lawn for their Airbnb place for them. And then like the following day, I had a electrician friend who just needed he needed an assistant, and so I joined. It was freaking cold that day too. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just make sure I didn't get shocked or something. Oh, we got two Ev triple
Oh,
Evan.
wait, we got two Evans. Hold on, let me go.
Let me move him out of the way. All right, let's do this.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So, no, but I just began to realize like Nashville is not what I thought it was going to be, which is fine. And so I just had to work really hard. And it took me a minute to be able to afford a voice lesson. It took me a minute to be able to afford a single, you know, because my producer that I found did. Was expensive. It was $1,500 for a song, which is probably pretty cheap. And but as a new artist who has nothing and works two jobs and like I'm just like, this is going to take some time, you know, but I know what I'm called to do. God gave me a voice. I want to use it. And so I think that's kind of where I had to like change my focus and realize, okay, so if I'm going to survive in Nashville and I'm going to be able to provide for myself, I'm going to have to work really hard. And to be able to have money to do other things and to have be able to do music. And you know, and over the past 4 years I've released four singles. I didn't do anything in, obviously since the pandemic because you know life got weird for a lot of people when I lost my job and all that. But that caused me to refocus as well. So you know, I think God's in it all, even though it gets pretty scary.
And some would consider those moments of not hitting your dream kind of like failure. What have you found has helped you move forward from that?
I think my a lot of it was to do with my parents. I was, and they always really believed in me, and there was never a level of like it wasn't a level of disappointment if I didn't do XYZ. I wasn't going to disappoint them, but it was like, you know, I believe in you, Evan. No matter what you choose to do, I believe in you. And you know, it may be music, it may be real estate, it may be, you know, whatever. They're like, just whatever you do, Lord, and I believe in you. And so I think that helps. That's helped get me through a lot. And you know, God never said that I wouldn't fail or wouldn't come across hard times. But he would be there to walk me through it and to lead me to a better place, you know, to take me to higher ground.
Beautifully stated. Yeah, still a little bit more choppy, so I'm sure there's a few words that were dropped out of that. But before we, this is not a failure show. Let's move forward on to where you're at today, because I kind of want to know what you just mentioned real estate. How did that even enter into your perspective, or what's it called, into your peripheral?
Yeah.
Or have you always had a desire to mingle with that?
Well, I've always had the thought that I wanted to get out of the service industry. It's always did really well, and I still do it today. And I do love it, and I enjoy it. It provides for me. But I just have always wanted, like, a day job or a regular job, or, you know, because I feel like there are lots of things that I could be doing in the evenings and stuff, but I'm obligated because I have, that's when I work, you know, that's when you make money at night. And so I've thought, I've processed even through the years, probably the last 4 years, best thing for me to do, what would be a good track for me to go on. And I always found myself being like, super frustrated with, I don't want to do that. No, I don't, you know, because I can't see myself sitting in an office all day and staring at a computer. And, you know, like, and so my web design is irrelevant or useless because I'm like, I don't want to sit at a computer and write code all day. They're like, that sounds miserable, you know? And that's, I'm sure it's great for a lot of people, but I just, I'm such a people person that I just was like, that's not it. And so I had the thought probably 2.5 years ago, I think I want to do real estate. And that was like the first thing I think that I, that didn't like repulse me when I thought about an alternative. And I was like, real estate. Okay. That sounds fun. Like, you know, selling houses and out meeting people and, you know, and, I had actually told some of my friends that I was thinking about getting my real estate license. And I had a couple of people, a couple of my friends that I worked with that had done it. And I talked a little bit more about it and became more familiar with the idea and had researched it. I didn't have anything to do for 2.5 months. So it was all virtual and I did it online and woke up, went and worked out and came back to my house and sat down at my computer and just, it was really, really long. It doesn't necessarily thing I think is a little mind numbing, but it was just a process. And, you know, I just got my license and I was like, this is it. You know, I have to take advantage of this time because once I start working again, I'm not going to have that much time. I'm not going to feel like doing it before I go to work at night.
Yeah.
And so I just did it. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Actually, I'm in the same boat as you. I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I am exhausted. I feel like I'm not doing anything. I just need to find something to pay the bills. And then I can work on my love, my passion, this kind of stuff. And not worry about, is this going to pay me for now? It's just something that I want to do for me. But and I've done many odd jobs, even the lab job that I did. And that was a job that helped keep me afloat when the pandemic hit and we all lost our jobs. I was working at a lab, a dental lab. But eventually got to a point where they weren't paying me enough to survive. And I'm like, I need something different. And I started looking for something more, something that I was capable, something that I was good at, but not necessarily was passionate about. And that's what led me to substitute teaching in between freelance gigs. And then eventually this led to this opportunity to become a full-time educator. And I'm finding purpose in that. However, even if that's, it's, who knows what's going to happen in next year. Maybe they'll find someone more qualified and I can move forward to, or maybe the speaking business will eventually launch out and all this stuff. Who knows? But it's something to pay the bills. I don't feel like I've lost. I feel like this is something that will help me not waste time. I'm giving back. I'm getting paid to do something good. And I feel like that's been rewarding in and of itself, but it's giving me a chance to rebuild myself, rebrand myself, figure out what exactly Josa Faramillo is supposed to represent and what I want to launch forward. And I'm not sure if you find yourself in the same footsteps, because if anything, I've seen you more active now in music, especially at church. I've seen you sing more often on stage. You've been on stage more than me now.
Yeah. I I love, I've always led worship at churches. And, because of the caliber of musician and worship leader that we have at our church, that's just, and the quality of people even that attend the church that could join and sing, like, and Pastor Henry said it really well, that the worship team is in this crowd that would join. He said, I couldn't even schedule you once a year to each have an opportunity to encourage you to join other areas of the ministry. Because, if God's called you to this body, he didn't necessarily just call you to be on the stage. And I said, that's fair, because any choice of I've immediately joined the worship team or the praise band or whatever.
You're cutting in and out again. I guess it's not the video. It's
That's.
just the internet connection.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
No,
me?
it's just now I can. So
I stopped talking. So can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
But I'll finish talking while I was doing that. So this is all that to say, I don't know where what you last heard, but
Well, you had talking about where you had met with pastor, or you're talking to pastor, and he said that he even if he could he, there wouldn't be time for it to let everyone sing, but to find a different place to serve, and that's kind of where you started getting choppy.
Yeah, so I thought with my background in technology and computers and stuff, I could do cameras. I didn't know anything about cameras. I didn't, but I was like, well, maybe I could do broadcasting cameras. So I joined the camera team, and that is still the team that I'm on to this day. And I have found so much joy in that team and in those people, that it's kind of crazy to me, because I just never expected that. Because I, before that I felt kind of frustrated, because I'm like, I lead worship, I'm a singer, you're missing out on my gifts.
Yeah, you
But I
are.
was like, that's not, that's fine. I need to have a good attitude about this. I need to go into it. And I have always been a learner, and I feel like stuff changes at church literally every week, but I love it so much. Like I go and I serve, and I serve under incredible leaders that all they want to do is teach, and they don't have any expectations of your knowledge. And if you don't know something, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been told to change my aperture or my f-stop or whatever, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Are you going on the phone? All right, let's try this out.
Look at this bedroom, guys. Okay.
Wow, even the audio's better.
Is it good? Me see.
Gonna take my shades off so I can appreciate the full. You can leave it upright or
Sorry. I should have just done this, but I was like, I need the lighting.
actually looks
A lot better.
you look taller for some reason.
I'm very tall.
No, I like where you're going with this about unexpected surprises in trying out new things that you didn't think you'd enjoy, and find meaning in that, and growth in that. So I mean, I guess everything in life is a teachable moment. Depending, it all
Absolutely.
depends on you. Depends on your heart, your attitude, and of course, that doesn't mean the original dream is dead. It definitely doesn't mean the original dream is dead.
Well, I mean, yeah, just to expound on that, and then I would like to share about my mom as well.
Yeah, that's
Just
actually a really
another
good
situation.
story.
But yeah, just, I mean, being a part, be like growing where you're planted, I guess. I mean, being in the on the camera team or in the broadcast is really special. And over the past year and a half or so, TBCO's opened up the choir, so I've gotten to use my gifts in that regard as well. Like, I've gotten to go in and record vocals for the album, and I've gotten to record vocals that they used for the Christmas, like the Christmas, not a concert, but like the Christmas service that they would
Oh,
have,
yeah.
like just things like that. I would go in, and so I've gotten to use my gifts just in other ways, but not necessarily like on the front of the stage holding a mic, which is fine. I don't have to be on the front of the stage. Like, God still uses me, and he can hear my voice in the back or in the, even in the audience. Like God hears me just as much as he does with somebody with a microphone. So I think that's been one really cool thing that I learned. Just to expound on that just a little bit as well. The first church I attended in Nashville left it being a bad situation, but I was there like 3 weeks and sang on stage for the first time. Like they embraced me so fully that I thought that I was like, this is it. This is my Nashville dream. You know, like I would go, I was in the youth and I'd lead worship in the youth and I'd get done with the set in the youth and I'd run over to the main sanctuary and lead worship for the adults in the main sanctuary. And then I would run back over to the youth and I would do the altar call in the youth. And I was like, this is it. This is ministry. This is, you know, like, but even though the church was a difficult situation, I learned so much in that season. The other people that I was leading worship with, like they stretched me, they grew me. They were like, this is how you lead a rehearsal. This is how you signal the band where you're going. This is, you know, like, and so even though that season was really hard, I learned so much from that. That I really am thankful for that season as well. You know, I find myself, even though seasons are hard, when I look back, I'm like, wow, I learned a lot. I grew a lot. And I'm very thankful for that time in my life because how else would I have learned that, you know, like, and so that is just an encouraging word for anybody who's going through something that they're just like, this is really hard and this sucks and I don't want to be a part of it, but just keep going and know that, you know, what God's doing in this season, he's going to use in the next and you will learn and grow and be better than you are today because of it, because God's always, he's always good and he's faithful. So, but about my mom just a little bit. So I, mentioned that she had been sick, and she's, you know, she's still is fighting. But she's just had a rough road. My mom has, fought diabetes for probably 25 years or so at this point. And I don't really think she knew the gravity or the brevity of what it does to your body over time. Yeah. And so my mom felt great for years and she's like, well, I have diabetes and, you know, and just didn't really take care of herself. And so, and all these things, like your blood sugar is running so high for so long, they really do damage to your body. So whenever I graduated college, I remember moving into my apartment and my mom spent the entire weekend in my bed because she was so sick. And I graduated in 2006 and it's 2022. So she's been sick for a very long time and she just like doesn't have energy, doesn't feel good, her eyes hurt, you know, different things like that. And when I lived at home, when I finally decided to move to Nashville, they were putting my grandfather in a nursing home. And that's, I think when I, cause my mom was getting so bad that she really couldn't take care of my grandfather. And if she didn't start actively taking control of what was going on in her life, that she was going to die. Mm-hmm. And so my grandfather was in a nursing home and I felt like, okay, my mom is going to start taking care of herself and this is a better place for me to go and be in Nashville. So I moved to Nashville and my mom, I came home to visit and my mom went to the doctor and she found out that her kidneys were failing. Oh. And she came out to me from that doctor's appointment and I was sitting in the front seat and she was just sobbing. And she was like, I'm having kidney failure. They're telling me that I need a kidney transplant. And I just looked at her and I was like, well, mom, I'll give you a kidney. And she's like, I'm not taking your kidney. No, like, this is awful. I'm so scared. Like, and I was like, mom, it's okay. Like you can live with one kidney. It's okay. And she's like, I'm not doing that to you, Evan. And was very, very resistant. Mm. And so, which I feel like anybody would be, but she was just not having it. And, so eventually it got to the point where she started dialysis because her kidney failure was gone or her kidneys were gone. And she, you know, she had to be on dialysis for three times a week, every other day for like 4 hours. And it really controls your life. I mean, I don't know if maybe somebody watching that doesn't know what dialysis does, but it basically filters your blood. Your kidneys typically do that, but your dialysis will take all of the blood out of your body and it will filter it and put it back in and essentially do the job that your kidneys would do. And so it takes a long time, but it takes up your life. I mean, if my mom went to visit anybody, she had to figure out the closest dialysis center. Because she had to go there and get dialysis while she was away. And if there wasn't one close enough, then she couldn't go because she can't go more than 2 days without dialysis. And so just in learning more about donation and looking for a donor, I told her I was going to donate a kidney and I got tested. And she was like, Evan, I'm not letting you donate a kidney to me. And I said, I don't care what you say. I'm getting tested and we'll see what happens. And so I got tested and I was a match. And it's actually very, very rare that a child would be compatible to donate to a parent. I know that would seem weird, but it's for whatever, however it works, typically they're not a match. And I was. And there are like six markers and I met three of them and that was the minimum number. And they were like, you can donate. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And my mom was like, wait a minute, before this happens, explain to me the situation. Because she's just under the impression that they're going to cut me from rib to my back and open me up and take out this. And they're like, no, Janie, this is, it's not like not invasive, but it's like, it's pretty, it's, we go in a couple of holes in your abdomen, we'll make a little slit below his belly button. We'll go in with to the holes and do a scope and with the tools and we'll just remove the kidney and pull it out underneath the belly button and sew him up and he'll have a little 2 or 3 inch scar and a couple spots on his belly and that's it. And she's like, wait, that's all? And she's like, I thought you were gonna like break his ribs and cut him open. And she's like, they're like, no, it's not. It's a big surgery, but it's not like we're not cutting him from ear to ear here. So and so I was working. I had quit my two jobs. I got one job at the Cheesecake Factory. That was the equivalent of my two jobs that I was working. And so I was working at the Cheesecake Factory, and I was going through all the process. It's pretty extensive. You know, you have to go in for tests, and you have to drink so much, and you have to collect all your urine for several days, and then you have to send it off, and it's just blood work and this and that. But we got it all lined up, and we went to Johns Hopkins and I was able to donate a kidney to my mom. And it was so cool. Like, I was very, very active. Very, I don't want to say fit, but I took good care of myself, was always in the gym, ate right. And, I've never been involved with drugs or alcohol or anything like that. Like it just in my whole life. And so, when the doctor took the kidney out and he told my mom he had never seen a more perfect kidney. Like he was just like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. And he hooked it up to my mom. And my mom had been like so swollen with fluid that she got rid of 18 liters of fluid within the first 24 hours. And I mean, it was to the point where they were like, this kidney is working too good. Your blood pressure won't stay up because it's just sucking this liquid off your body. And so, but it's just been, and it's been a little over 8 years now since I donated that. And it was, but I mean, they were like, you gave your mom a beautiful kidney. And it's been ever since she's been good in that aspect. I mean, she's had other battles, you know, but I mean, as far as that goes, like I was able to give her a kidney and it was pretty, I don't want to say it was like painless, but I mean, I went running. I went ran 3 miles 3 weeks after I did it because I was so active, and they told me I couldn't do anything. I couldn't lift a gallon of milk. I had to, you know, and I was like, no, like I have to be active. I have to go do something. And the doctor was like, if you take it easy and you feel like running, then go run. Just don't lift anything for 6 weeks, but you can go run if you want. So, and I have a video. I don't know if it was on my Instagram, but I was like, I just gave my mom a kidney 3 weeks ago. I'm going running, and I have a video of me running down the street, you know. But God has just been really good because I've had no issues, and it's actually really cool the way your body works because your other kidney actually grows to compensate for the fact that the other kidney is no longer there. And so, you know,
I have one kidney, and that's okay. But my
I
mom
mean,
is has three,
I'm
technically.
trying to think how you even come to that decision. Now, I'm not trying to say that I wouldn't if I needed to, like if it was my offspring or something, but like I don't think I'd be so willing to like I'm test me. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe I'm selfish with my organs or something. Forgive me. But like on my license, I am not a donor. And there's another reason why I'm not a donor, because of what happened to me in my childhood, my organs are considered lethal to regular people.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a hepatitis B or something like that. And so, and since it's
Oh,
a
wow.
liver disease, it affects the blood and all my organs. And yeah, all that fun stuff. So I could probably kill someone with my organs. So I
You
can't
got
even
to keep
donate
them.
that. But just even that, apart from that, I'm like, I'm not sure if I can. Now they said if it was like my personal offspring and we were the perfect match, it would work because they would
Oh.
inherit my immunities, apparently, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I just I it blows my mind when I hear people like, oh yeah, I donated this, I donated that too. And it's I just I can't grasp it. Am I a bad person for it? I don't know.
I don't really know, like, to tell you what was going through my mind. I don't know. I just didn't ever, I don't want to say it didn't faze me, but it didn't bug me. Like, it
Cool.
was immediate. Like, I just said, I have two kidneys and I can live with one, so take one of mine. Like, it was just kind of like a no-brainer for me. And that's not me being boastful at all, or braggadocious or anything. Like, I'm just like, I never thought. Like I never was afraid. The day I went into the operation, I have a photo with my friend Libby came and visited me, and she was with me before I went in, and we were taking selfies and we were laughing and having, I mean, and I was never fearful about it. And I just, you know, that's the peace of God, because I believe it was his will, and that's, you know, and it was, he gave me perfect peace. And I just went in, and I think there was some app that was really popular at the time, but it was like a stitched thing. And I got out of surgery and I recorded this little like snippet back and forth, and my hair was all like something about Mary sticking up. And I was just literally a video of like my feet going down this aisle of this long hallway to have the surgery, and it was done. And then I woke up the next day, and I literally was in the hospital for like a day, and they were like, okay, goodbye. I was like, wait a minute. You took an organ out of me. Can I not lay here? And they're like, no, you're good.
We'd have
Like,
to
all right,
charge you
cool.
more.
I don't know.
Evan, the musician, the performer, the worshiper, the real estate guy, the hero, the life-giving hero. Man, there's so many other stories that we can go down this path,
Yeah.
this path. But through it all, what's one underlining just thought or advice you'd love to give to anyone who is just, I don't even know where we went with the story other than, oh, because there's a lot of choppiness in there, a lot of
Sorry,
turbulence.
I should have just got on my phone from the beginning.
Don't worry about
Sorry,
it. We'll
West
definitely
Virginia
have to bring you
internet.
back then, and we'll do
Sorry.
another cat. Actually, I'm trying to find a panelist. Like, I need like three other people, or no, I was told to get four other people, so it'd be five to keep with the respect to the five.
That'd be cool.
And so I just gotta come up with a topic that five of us could discuss, and it's probably gonna be like on a Sunday afternoon. If you're game for that, I'll definitely shoot you an invite.
Okay.
Although you tend to work on
I do,
Sunday,
but you
so
let me know and I'll figure it out. It's no big
oh,
deal.
maybe
I
by
can
then
take off.
you would have sold a couple of houses that you can rely on that more.
From your lips to the Lord's ears. Yes.
Amen. So, Evan, any big plans or any big goals, anything that you're working on currently?
I mean, my big focus is real estate. I view real estate as a long-term play for me, because I know it takes a long time to build things like that, and things that are worthwhile take a while. And so, this March 1st, or I guess I'm probably in a couple of days, a day or so, is when I officially got my license. And so I'm like 1 year in, I've sold a house, I've shown a million, written a bunch of contracts, you know, like lost a bunch of contracts, like, and but the interesting thing about real estate is that they don't teach you how to be a real estate agent. They teach you all the laws and all the rules and all the this and the that's, and so you get out and you're like, what do I do? Like
Just don't break the rules.
I don't even know, like, do I just call people? I don't know. And so it's just, but I'm a part of an incredible team with EXP Realty here in Nashville, and the team itself are, there's like 40 of us, I think, and they are across several states, but they are amazing and they're a wealth of knowledge. And if anybody is ever trying to get into real estate, my biggest plea or a word of advice would be to join a team, at least at the beginning, because I can't tell you how many emergency phone calls I've made to people because I didn't know the answer. I didn't know how to do XYZ. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, like my first 20 contracts I wrote, I had somebody read over them and check them. Like, and so I've been super blessed and fortunate to be surrounded with that. But they're really great. They're one of the They're a mega icon team within EXP, and with that comes certain responsibilities and certain obligations on my end that are not un I want to say unmeetable because I don't think that's a word, but unattainable. But they are like, hey, these are what we would like to see within the next year. And so I think right now my big goal is to earn my place on the team and really do a good job and expand my real estate career and make that a bigger, more focal part of my life because I still work 4 to 5 evenings a week, which does make it difficult to try to do stuff, you know, because I have to be there at 3:30 or 4, and I'm there until midnight or 11, and so it cuts a lot of time out. And so the more I do real estate, the more I'd like to fizzle out and phase out those things. But you know, God has been so good to me and blessed me with a great job that I am able to do both. And so currently for me, I'd like to do that. And as I do make more money and able to do more real estate stuff, I would like to be able to pursue more music. I've always had a dream to do a worship album, and worship's always been in my heart. And I have had many, many visions about what that would look like. And I really want to get into that and write what needs to be spoken and saying and said in this climate of the world, because there are amazing people and amazing worship songs that are around today, but I think there's always room for more. And so, I would love to do a worship album. So that would be
Any particular
another
style?
goal.
Now, when that worship album covers or originals?
No, originals. Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, I'd probably throw in some covers because, like, obviously you want some connection, you know, like people connect with things that they know. And so if I could, you know, incorporate a variation of something that's already sung, whether it be Chris McClarney or The Belonging Co or Carrie or Cody or whomever, I'd incorporate some of that, but I would love some originals, you
All
know,
right,
some
well,
things that.
I need you to settle a great debate.
Okay.
Does heaven meet earth like a slop, like a slop wet, sloppy wet kiss, or does it meet earth as an unforeseen kiss?
Sloppy wet all day. Sloppy wet all day.
Best friends have that argument all the time. One's sloppy wet, the other one's like, no, it's unforeseen.
Oh, she's sloppy. For sure, sloppy.
No, most definitely, Evan. Thank you for being on the show today.
Of
It's
course.
we had a choppy beginning there, but
I'm
no,
sorry.
what you brought still to the table is some valuable stuff that my audience can take, run with it, and hopefully use it to help them detach from failure, take ownership of their lives, and develop the right mindset to go off and become the rock star
The
of
rock
their
star.
industry.
The
But
rock star.
no, any last words before I go and just close the show for the night? Any last thoughts you'd like to throw out there? Oh, by the way, along also, if you want to be found, how can people find you?
I am Evan Hedrick, basically on everything. My Instagram is Evan Hedrick. My Facebook's Evan Hedrick. My real estate is Evan Hedrick, the matchmaker.
I wanted to talk to you about that. Like, Where'd that brand come from? The matchmaker.
Well, our so with our team,
It's right here.
we have a we each have characters, and they kind of embody each of us individually, and we try to approach things just a little bit differently. We don't want to be we want to be similar to a lot of real estate agents, but we also want to be standouts, and we want to be, you know, something that people are like, well, that's a little different, you know. And so we all have characters. We have Agent S on our team, and we have the straight shooter, and we've got the coach, and we've got the real estate ninja, and all kinds of different characters. And I actually asked a couple of my friends what I should be, and they were like, you should be the matchmaker. Like, what is that show? I don't even know. I can't think
Like The
of it.
Bachelor or something
The
like that, or
Bachelor. So it was actually going to be the Real Estate Bachelor, but they were like, no, it needs to be like matching people.
with their dream
And so I was like,
house.
the real estate matchmaker, and I'm helping people find their perfect match, whether it be a buyer to a seller or a people to a house or, you know, whatever. And so that's just kind of like my alternative ego within the real estate realm as well. Just the real estate matchmaker helping you find your perfect match. But yeah, so.
That's kind of like me when they used to call, I used to call myself the conduit because I was always connecting people with someone else.
Absolutely, you are the conduit, and you are you're a really incredible guy, a really incredible friend, always super happy. And your audience is obviously they know how great you are. If they haven't ever met you, they love you, I'm sure. Very lovable, very knowledgeable, always encouraging, and I really appreciate you and your friendship through the years. It's been
And we were roommates for a year.
we were roommates for a year. It was fun.
Best
I
year of our
was
lives.
super into meal prepping, and I'd come home from work and you'd sit at the and you were on like a 40-day fast. This
I
man
did it. No,
like
I didn't. You were encouraged me to do the 40.
what
I
did you
only did
do?
21
No,
days.
21 days, no food,
Yeah.
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, I started off with tea and coffee with no sugar, no cream. But like on the 10th day, my body's like, I don't want this anymore. And I just went straight water from there.
Water, 21 days, this
And
man
I remember
didn't
only
eat.
one time I got a headache and you were making bacon, but it's my fault because I'm sitting there watching you making the bacon.
I came home like after work and you're sitting at the counter and I'm like meal prepping bacon and I felt like such a jerk because you're like starving and I'm like, look, bacon.
And I haven't been able to go past 3 days since. That's the only time I ever did like any long fast.
Wow.
But like ever since after that, I haven't been able to go past three. Maybe I did maybe a 10 day, but like it started off really weak. But no, like I couldn't do a no food for 3 days. I don't know. It was a one time thing, I guess.
I think I did it for, I think I did just water once for 7 days or something like that, or
That's
maybe it was just
possible.
three. I don't remember, but I could not do 21, that's for sure.
It just went on. Well, anyway, Evan, thank you for being on this show. This is episode. Oh, let me do the closing thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This was episode 66 of Hey Rockstar. We had a rock star conversation featuring Evan, the matchmaker, Hedrick.
Matchmaker.
Matchmaker, yeah. Hedrick,
Matchmaker.
all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, and right now he is in Wyoming, but he is actually a Nashville native now,
Yes.
as is yours truly. So all the way from all parts of the world, we just want to say thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you for letting us into your homes. Thank you for letting us into your cars. But most especially, thank you for letting us into your hearts. So until next time, much love and many blessings. Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Look at you accomplishing things. Like the podcast? Then try catching us live next time. For now, the Hey Rockstar live stream is aired every Thursday. Hey Rockstar is affiliated with Low Budget Productions. Go to Facebook, like and follow LVP's page to learn more about the other amazing podcasts under their umbrella. The energetic rock background music is by Anwar Amar. also known as Music Today 80. Josafat Emiliano is a keynote speaker and mentor. To connect and invite him for your next event, go to his Instagram and direct message him at Josafat Emiliano. That is JOSAFATEMILIANO. So take the big five and go live life as a rock star.